Hi, this is Christy Marks, creator of Gem and the Holograms. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Geekcast Radio, episode 348. Once again, we are bringing you our series inside GCR called Convention Attention. It's been a while since we've done one of these, folks. It's been about a year. So actually, it's been a little bit less than a year, considering the last one was in August of 2024. But I am, of course, TFG and Mike joining me once again for the something we didn't do last year because it was the mustard that was left off the hot dog. But the ECCCCCC recap is the moose himself, the moose man himself, Mr. Christopher A. Morton. Hello, sir. How are you?
Greetings and salutations all the way from the West Coast.
That's right. That's right. And crowding the crowd work there is his good old buddy, Matt Crowder. He's working the comic angle and everything else. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
That's good. That's good. We are recapping Emerald City Comic Con 2025, which was held from March 6th through March 9th at the Summit, aka Seattle Convention Center, out there in the great state of Washington. Yay!
Yay! Huzzah!
Yay!
Oh man, it's been a while. I know we did the con catch up last year, and we did, I think the last ECCCCCCC we did was in 2023, but man, I've lived here in Indiana for 3 years now. It's hard to believe that I have not lived out there in Washington since 2022. Oh God.
At the height of the great plague.
No, at the tail end of it. It was the comet tail end of it. Thank you.
I don't know. It feels like we're still in it sometimes. I mean, seriously.
Well,
keep catching it.
Yeah.
Well, we caught some sort of hopefully final time of Agent Yellow and Red for the next. Anyway, Emerald City Comic Con 2025. Like I said. I was trying to scroll because the problem with, and I meant we mentioned this in every episode of these folks for the convention attention. The problem with going to any of the convention, the Comic-Con websites after the fact of the convention, it's like, hey, guess what? Here's 2026's information. And it's like, but I want to see 2025's. And it's like, I'm trying to scroll down the guest list of seeing like all of the interesting guests that were probably there. Were they there?
Because there was a lot of changes like the day before, 2 days before the con. They completely upset the con, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even get down half of the page. I stopped at Alan Tudyk, and I'm like, okay, as long as Alan Tudyk showed up, I don't care who else was there.
Did he?
Did he
show up?
That's what you're here to answer, but you guys didn't even show up, did you?
No, we kind of showed up.
All right.
We originally were scheduled to be part of the festivities. They just canceled all the festivities.
Yeah.
Disclaimer. All of them.
We should disclaim, if you're going to a Comic-Con, please make sure you get a good night's rest before you go. You want to prep your time for walking, wear comfortable shoes, drink your vitamin C, really so beef up on your vitamins. Yeah, just so much vitamin C. So that's our disclaimer before you go to a Comic-Con, always. So this one we went, it's a Thursday through Sunday show. It's a four-day show. Now, what's a little bit different about this one, this is the third year that it's premiering in its new convention center. But a caveat to that is a good chunk of the show is now back at the old convention center, which is about three blocks away. mostly covered walking, but it's still three blocks away. What killed this con a little bit, and of course, a good artist friend of ours, Vegas James, had another booth there this year. And the main stage, or three of the main stages, plus a lot of the photographs and some autographs, were in the old building. Now, the autographs and all that, I understand. It's the main stage that was the big caveat to this con. So a lot of people go off, three blocks to the main stage, watch a show. They may have not returned back to the main show, which is the feeling a lot of them, the people in the con had. Because once they've taken that three-walk block, and I understand it's raining. Seattle, in its greatness of March weather, it was raining during the con. Granted, about, I'd say, a little over half the walk is covered because you go through a nice covered kind of a tunnel area to get between the two on the streets.
Right.
But it's still enough rain where you get wet trying to get across the way through the courtyard into the next building. So the breakup of this con was more of the new adventure that it's gotten bigger. Now, our observation, well, especially James's observation, was it was Rose City Comic Con slipped into five stories. And they could have fit everything into that building. Now that I'm looking at it, I would probably argue a little bit because there was times in that building was still pretty crowded. There was areas that was a little crunched to get through. At times it ebbed and waved through, you know, how busy and crowded it was to how thin it got. So overall, that's the aspects of a con's development as it starts to grow. And it's amazing this building wasn't built with more capacity, where they're feeling that they have to use the old convention center, because part of that was supposed to relieve the cost of the old convention center, which is practically three buildings, all condensed to one. And now it's technically still three buildings, but separated by three.
I have a theory that they have to do both buildings because the celebrities want their high-end hotels, which are right next to the Arch building, which is the old convention center. Those have connectors and can go from the hotel directly to the convention center instead of having to walk three blocks as a celebrity to the new convention center. They don't want to do that. So they want to keep the Arch building for the celebrities so that they can stay comfortable next to their hotels.
Which is pretty good theory. I mean, actually, that fits in line with our expertise in this convention world of a lot of them having that expectation. The other big thing about this con that was different than others was the price of the con. We've never seen a Sunday ticket go for the same price as a Saturday ticket at $80 a shot. That was a shocker for us.
And those that don't know, Sundays usually end at 5, and Saturdays usually end at like 7.
Well, actually 11, because you 7 the con ends, and then there's all the after con events.
Yeah.
So big cost difference. And obviously you see the rising. I mean, you expect it. I mean, I remember the days when it was like $40 to go to a Comic Con. But
it was $80 to go to 3 days at ECC when I started going.
Which is, yeah, incredible.
That's the cost of a Saturday ticket.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
And see, that actually hurts a lot other, because not only that, I mean, everything in the con is a lot more expensive. Of course, just the vendors alone. Now, the other aspect of the con is for the people that go to the con, set up shop. Artist Alley table, how much, Matt, they're saying the table ran this year?
Artist Alley was around $500, depending on who you know.
Ooh. Which is double of what we used to back in the old days. The vendor, which is on floor zero, they're pushing how much?
So an interior, like normal, like table is about 2000. If you had an end cap or a large, booth, $3,000.
Oh, okay. I know most of these are like, you know, for giant people that corporate, making money. Yeah. That may end up making money, but like, how could anybody make money at having to pay that? Wow.
That's my, yeah.
The margins are not there much anymore. I mean, Artist Alley, James walked away. This is one of his better cons. There's a lot of appreciation for the style of art he does, which is more, he's comic. And in past comic or shows we've talked about, Vegas James, he's done some more work outside the medium of his own stuff. He's did work on the new He-Man comic that came out. So he's established now. Granted, his style of work is just, it's amazing. It's beautiful, all very Marvel superhero style. He's also runner-up 2 years ago at Rose City Comic Con for the Quick Draw event. Congratulations. James has to come back and win that again. But his established style did really well. And there's a couple other guys around there that did really well. Randall across the way, one of the other artists. I know he did really well. Gosh, he had a line of people. And this is the other thing Matt noticed in the Comic-Con was the sketch art, the private one-shot work, was much more this year than we've seen in the past. For more, just basically headshots. I mean, you were hitting, what were the headshots you were seeing there, Matt?
The prices for headshots have definitely hit inflation. There was a person that I got a head sketch from, a known artist. It was like $100 for a head sketch years ago. At this con, he was $400 for a head sketch. There were people that I'd never even heard of that are like just cover artists that are doing the Japanese style, like DC books and Marvel books that everybody's all the rage for right now. They were charging $750 for a head sketch, and they haven't even done interiors. They're just doing cover art. Was ridiculous how expensive getting art done by people at the show. And except I think Randall. It's because of how expensive the fucking con tables are now.
Yep. Except Randall. He was still pretty cheap. They work for much more affordable prices.
And no, you're saying that wrong. That's Randy Emberlin.
Oh, Randy. Sorry, Randy Emberlin. Yeah. I was saying Randall, wasn't I? Wrong one.
Yep. Randy Emberlin has had the same price like his entire career, pretty much. And he's a super nice guy.
The other artists in Artist Alley had big variety. The floor two was the Artist Alley again. This one actually took up just over half. I noticed a lot of the late rows, there was a lot of room between the booths, but more you ran to the other end. So like the past L, row L was open, but when you got toward row A, it's like they ran out of room and the rows got much narrower, and boy, they got crowded really quick. It was hard to get through some of those. So, but a lot of variety. Returning comic, returning artists that I've seen. One of the ones I stopped at was Amy Chow. And then who else did I see? I'm trying to think of all the people I've came across. There was a lot of big name artists there too. Darn it. Matt, help me out here. What was some of the other ones we've come across? Brian Cook was there. That's who I was thinking. Butts on Things. He showed back up there. He's one of the regulars from the Northwest.
Valentine, he was there.
Oh, yeah. Valentine was there.
Randy Emberlin, of course. Who was the guy that you bought the book for?
I'm drawing a blank on his last name.
Tom Zoller?
No, Zoller was not there. I looked. I couldn't find him. He did not show up to this con. I know he's busy right now. There's a couple of big name artists that didn't show up this year that normally show up.
Katie Cook was there.
Kitty Cook did get there, and I actually stopped by her booth to see, but she was really busy.
Yeah.
But the folks over at Beyond the Western Deep, they weren't there. Say Alex and Rachel, which artists that I absolutely love, and they do a great comic strip, but they didn't show up because, well, the cost of the con and it's the cost of the environment. A lot of Northwest people were there. Not a lot of travelers from the East Coast were showing up this year. So
certainly nobody from Canada.
Yeah, yeah. No, Canadians were not coming across, which really hurt.
Which you could tell, you could feel it, that there was a lack of fandom at the show.
Yeah.
Now, we always push for people to purchase at Artist Alley. If you go anywhere, it's the place. If you're going to spend money, that's who you spend it on. But I know people have come here wants to hear about, what about the big guests, the ones that have come across, the big name people. Well, this one, guys, all the five families, all of us went Saturday for one reason. The majority of everyone from Firefly were supposed to do multiple panels. They had to get together. that's why we were going on Saturday. That was our whole focus, to see the cast of Firefly all together, ready to go. I think it was like panels. Everyone but Alan Tudyk. And Alan Tudyk, like, he was the last one to show eventually.
Adam Baldwin was never on the schedule.
Oh, Adam, that's right. He didn't show up. But still, it was a majority of the cast. So once they get it going, we're all excited. The week before, it went to crap.
Oh, no.
They basically started pushing people out of Saturday, because apparently a lot of several of the cast members could not make Saturday. They made Sunday. So they moved all the panels. Now, the one big change on this Comic-Con, I got to mention, was the assigning of panel booths or seats. So you bought your tickets and you had three panels that you can get priority seating for. So you get your name on the list, you had to show up 30 minutes early, and you're guaranteed to get into that panel. And if you didn't show up, your seat would have been given out by the time they let people in. It's a priority seating thing to help try to ebb in the flow of people coming into these panels, especially the big ones, because the main stage wasn't quite as big as it was before.
Yep.
So that was the big change. So everyone who signed up for Saturday stuff, nearly all the Saturday stuff for their paneling got canceled, because Alan Tudyk eventually could not make Saturday. He only could do Sunday. So he ended up moving to a Sunday shift, and then Jules didn't make it either.
He canceled like the day before.
Yeah. So everybody was.
So what you're saying is the Firefly convention stuff got canceled just like the show.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Now, Reed Pop Fox, same person. Never seen them in the same building at the same time. Have you?
Conspiracy.
Yes, conspiracy.
So that was the big change. I had the big draw. Some of the five family members went for all the autographs they can get. They were in line for quite some time to get all those. And pretty much their whole con, we couldn't even hardly spend any time with them, because their whole Saturday, even Sunday, was spent in the Arch building just standing in line to get autographs, which was beyond. I couldn't do that. I mean, I got a few autographs, ones that I value today. But when I go to Comic-Cons, of course, Matt knows, my big thing is the panels. I want to go see panels. I want to see information about, beginning, intermediate people in the fields that they enjoy, or about a fandom they enjoy.
Well, you want to hear from the people, and you really can't hear from the people standing in line waiting for an autograph when that's a personal one-on-one thing. Would you like the personal one-on-one thing? Absolutely, great. But the point of the panel is so everyone can hear from the people that worked on or took part in or had a part in whatever it is, whether it's a TV show, a movie, a comic, or whatever. That's the point of the panel, is to go to see the people that worked on it and get the overall group interaction more so than the individual interaction. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Now, Firefly wasn't the only draw. That was just one of their main attention getters for Emerald City this year.
Right.
Other people that have come that arrived this year was Adam Savage. He had a pretty good line for his area. Bruce Campbell, who has an Oregon home, and I love the actor to death. He arrived. He was a great panel and great. Everyone loved getting their autograph and pictures with him. Denise Richards was here. Apparently, she grew a pretty large line. A lot of people were pretty excited about her. She was really nice.
There was a Starship Trooper-like reunion where they had Van Dyne and that cast. And then Star Trek Strange New Worlds had a bunch of cast members, so they had a big panel and Star Trek fandom. Really not much in the way of Star Wars this year, except for the black guy. He was the only Star Wars person. I can't remember his name.
Are you talking about Billy Dee Williams?
No, the stormtrooper from the new ones.
Oh, John Boyega. Yeah.
That one. He was there, but no other Star Wars person, so it was kind of lacking in the Star Wars department for once.
Seth Green arrived, but he didn't do a panel this year. It was just, he was there for autograph and pictures, so he didn't kick into the, which is a little bit different than what his style, but I'm heard he does a great panel if you can catch it. But that was the main groupings of them. They had a lot of other shows, voice actors that arrived. Of course, several of the Hell of the Boss has been Hotel, the actors like Alec Brightman, he showed up for it. Some old school voice actors from the X-Men days showed up. They were there signing autographs for voicing.
They had the Dragon Ball Z voice actors of Vegeta, Piccolo, and Goku. That was big time thing for people that are into anime.
Nice.
So that rounds up some of your big celebrities that came to this Comic-Con. And now we can get to the grits of what the panels and the inner workings of the Comic-Con were. Matt, what panels did you go see?
I didn't go to a single one.
That's right. You don't do the panels.
No, I wanted to go do Firefly. That's why I got a Saturday ticket.
Sorry, you're right. And they canceled on you.
Yep.
Curse it, you, ECCCC.
What panel did you go to, Chris? What did they talk about?
I went to several panels. This is the first year they did the thing called the Tavern up on floor 5. It looks like this big tavern with these like lights, and they had live shows of like pirate shanties, one guy called Earl the Bard. They just ran music. So you can go there, sit down for a little bit, and just listen to themes. If they had a tavern like this in Portland that ran all day long, I would go to it a lot. It was really nice. I actually enjoyed it immensely. There was little like beanbag chairs by the stage. And all the tables were set up. Those were really enjoyable. I caught two other smaller panels, I caught four panels total. One was more, I stopped in and looked at some intro art, some intro into the world of writing. The big one I was really excited while I'm looking through the panels, and I noticed someone who didn't have a table booth, but was on a panel. And this is Travis Baldry. Now, if you don't know, he writes a cozy little novel called Legends and Lattes. It is a fantastic D&D novel about a barbarian who retires to open a coffee shop. And it is the epitome of comfort or cozy novel writing, which kind of emerged during the start of the pandemic. No huge action scenes, no super suspense. It's just everyday fantasy people dealing with, real world issues. Right. I was super excited about this panel. It had a lot to do with the writing styles of what he did. I absolutely loved it. So I get into this panel with a friend of mine. We sit down there. There's him. There's two other writers. I can't remember their names. One wrote the book I remember called Automated Noodles, kind of a futuristic robotic future. California separates from the United States in this automated society, but they lose the war. And it's about robots in San Francisco that just want to run a noodle shop. That's all they want to do.
Okay.
Apparently it's a non-binary couple of robots, which okay. I don't get. Whatever. From the moment I sat down, the panel started, had zero to do with comfort writing and cozy novel creation. It ended up being all hate speech about the current government.
How
personal non-binary rights are being offended, affronted by the government. I went through 45 minutes of this just, it's like, I don't care about your sexual preference. I just want to hear about your book. Now, Travis didn't really jump on that bandwagon, but his two people that were with him up there, and they had a moderator who didn't moderate squat. And it's another great example for a Comic-Con, which I've complained to him, get moderators that moderate the panel. Yeah. Stop getting a moderator that cows down to a moderator. Now, I understand there are some moderators. Your best job is to get the hell out of the way. Let the people do it their own thing. Because experienced panel people or professional actors will run the gambit. Like yeah. Will Wheaton. You don't need to moderate Will Wheaton.
No.
That's fine. Let him go.
William Shatner won't even let you moderate. He'll throw you off the stage.
Yep.
There's only room for my ego. You must sit down with the common folk.
Yes, exactly.
But as we mentioned with SummerCon, we had the Hell of a Boss Has Been Hotel moderator who just did a horrible job. And the same came with this panel. It was just all about all their sexual preferences are being affronted, how they went to only two sexes in the government. Now, the room, it read the room, and the room was all cheering it on because that's just we're in Seattle. I really don't care. I wanted to learn more about Legends and Lattes, what yep. next book they're, because he wrote Bookshelves and Bone Dust, and there's supposed to be a third book coming out. That's what I wanted to hear about. What's your third book? Because it's a great series.
Yeah.
And I will do a whole podcast on cozy writing because that medium out there is really well and it has never been represented in the writing community for many years.
You know, yeah, we can do one. I just have to read the stuff first. That's all.
There's a great audiobook too. Travis Baldry reads his own works.
Oh,
because he started narrating books for people. That's how he got into writing. He narrated his books or these books, and so he wrote his own and then narrated his own, and he does a really good job.
Cool.
Let's
look into it.
It's not super exciting, you know, big action or nothing. It's just
that's fine.
Person writing a good old coffee shop. So that was the down point of this Comic-Con, was coming to a panel, had nothing to do with the panel, and I really wish they would get moderators in play. Not the only panel, and there's other panels there that are specific to that genre. You know, there's inclusive rights for everybody. There's a quiet room for LGBT community. If you need some space to talk or to relax, they actually set aside multiple rooms for that community. I mean, the con's very open to that inclusiveness to everything. That's great. That's let them have their space. But I came to a room to learn about books and it just didn't happen.
It didn't happen because they had an agenda for something completely different.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that you weren't against hearing that. It wasn't what you wanted to hear. You wanted information. You didn't want an agenda in your ear.
Nope.
You wanted to know about the person's work. Like, that's what you wanted to know about. That's the information you wanted.
So that was the downside of the Comic-Con for that Saturday. I heard from my other friends that were actually at the Friday show and Sunday show that, you know, the con was pretty busy. The flow of traffic was all right. Now, Matt does read a lot of the comments that came across the Facebook site. You want to highlight a couple of those great little events that happened on there?
So, at least this time there wasn't a lap dance circle of minors. So they improved upon that aspect of it from a couple years ago. So good job. But there was a lot of complaining about just little things that if you go to con, I think there was a lot of new con goers, and this is not the con that you want to go to as your first con.
No,
it's way too big. And you don't understand it, like people that were special needs of like with a cane or something like that, complaining about how long they were standing in line to get autographs. And even in their comments, they were like, yes, the line monitor, they moved us over into the VIP signatures, but without having purchased the VIP pass to be part of that line, but they were still not happy enough with that because they still had to stand there in line, that there should have been chairs or something in the line so that they could sit down because the line took them 45 minutes. Ungrateful. Little small things I've noticed because we've gone there so many times throughout the years. I thought the con actually did better this year. They had more chairs available throughout the con so people could sit down and not have to sit along the wall. There's never going to be enough chairs that you're not going to see people sitting on the floor and up against the wall, but they did a better job of having those rest areas available for people to sit down and tried to make the alleyways wider, like Chris said, in Artist Alley, until they, you know, miscalculated the space. It was just a lot of nitpicking stuff that people, I don't think, quite understood how cons actually operate. So overall, I think they did a better job, but it's still not the Emerald City that I used to love to go to. And I would get a 4-day pass and I would stay all weekend going to all the events and hanging out with all my friends and doing stuff. Now it's like, do I even want to go out for one day?
Right. You,
for this con, unfortunately, this was the reason that we went up. We went up for Firefly and unfortunately got very disappointed because they all canceled. You need to find something that you actually want to go do and see there. Otherwise, it's going to be a very disappointing con.
Yeah. So I know you guys went up specifically for the one day kind of thing, but did they even offer multiple day passes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure because
the only pass that they sell out of is the 4 day pass.
Right.
And Saturday. That's the only ones that they ever sell out of.
Okay.
If you want to go one Thursday, you want to go one Friday, you want to go one Sunday, those passes are usually always available. Saturday and the weekend passes are the only ones that ever sell out.
And you're paying through the nose for individual days.
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course. You're going to pay through the nose for individual days. But yeah, no, I was just kind of curious because you guys only did go the one day. I was like, but do they still sell the multi-day passes? Because... I don't know. And yeah, you're right. It doesn't sound, it sounds like where ECCC is in their convention history here, it doesn't sound like they are in any way, shape, or form looking to welcome in easily new people.
No.
They want the convention aficionado who can run the gambit of the way that they set that show up.
Yes.
And basically you're going to be trampled like Billy Crystal in City Slickers if you don't know what the hell you're doing, which, you know, hey, more promotion for Rose City Comic Con, folks. It's much easier and much more friendly.
Yep. And it gives you a lot more options too. It's funny. Everything in Seattle is very black and white. Like, these are the restaurants that are there. There are no other options. You will pay those prices or you won't eat.
That's right.
And it, like Portland, Rose City, they have food trucks.
Yep.
And it's going to be different every year that you go there. Like, yep. Oh, I want to eat at that taco place. Well, that taco truck was there last year. Doesn't mean they're going to be there this year. So it's kind of cool that they rotate in food options and have close food options that are affordable too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seattle, you're downtown Seattle. You better go when it's happy hour, which means you're leaving the show to go do happy hour. Cause
yep.
Yeah, 3 to 6, you're leaving the heart of the show to go get cheap food, or not even cheap food. So also another rule of con going for those that have not done it, pack snacks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pack snacks.
Energy bars, jerky, things that'll stay with you and give you energy, not just straight sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, we did get a staple of the Emerald City Comic Con for most people to have meals is just outside the restaurant of, why am I drawing a blank on it? Matt, help me.
Which restaurant?
The one that's closing right outside.
Oh, Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory, that's right. Cheesecake Factory is closing, in fact, here within the month. That's how a staple of Emerald City.
How do you draw a blank on the Cheesecake Factory?
I was looking at something else on my screen and my mind went elsewhere. I'm looking at pretended because values.
We didn't eat there this time.
We did not because we weren't there multiple days too. So
yeah.
One thing we didn't mention when we started the show was the attendance. Now pre-pandemic attendance for Emerald City Comic Con reached a peak about 98,000. And then they believe this year the numbers haven't been announced, but they either achieved it or just finally broken the 100,000 level this year alone. So it was a very packed con, and they have the space for it, especially if they're doing two big buildings to offset a lot of the attendance. They have the space to do up to there. Because I remember in 2019 that was a shoulder-to-shoulder. We were working on the sixth floor on that one, and that was incredibly busy con. That was right before everything went haywire.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's crazy.
That's the overview of ECC, CCCCC. I guess we should go to the next section if we want to talk to you in a minute here. We will go over the upcoming cons for 2025, which for the Northwest will be SummerCon and, of course, our very home city, Rose City Comic Con.
So those are the next two you guys are going to?
Yes. So I just did a comic book swap meet this weekend at Lloyd Center, and there was a guy walking around handing out flyers for something called Geek Week, which is like 10 days in September at the same time that Rose City is going on, except Rose City is only a 3-day con where this is like a full week. So we might go check a day of that out and see what that's about. I'm kind of hoping it's kind of given that old Rose City, when it was done at the Doubletree Ballroom, that it was that small. And you had like massage therapists setting up tables, and you had like Etsy people selling buttons that they make out of their garage, and that kind of small town actual artists and not some corporation ripping off an artist and throwing it on a t-shirt kind of thing that a lot of those cons have turned into. So
why do I feel like watching the Social Network after this podcast right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the merch at Emerald City was a little disappointing. It was more like a showroom floor of things that you can't afford, but oh, it'd be really cool if you could have that Wormwood gaming table meant for D&D that's like $10,000 or whatever, but you know, actual things that you can afford, it was a little lacking. Or you know, if you've gone to one con, you've seen them at every single con, so you already have the one thing that you wanted from them and they don't come out with new product.
You're talking about T-Turtle.
One of many t-shirt companies that was there that had the exact same run of t-shirts that they've had for like the last 5 years.
Yep. Nothing special about T-Turtle. You disappoint me. I usually try to buy a T-Turtle shirt on every con, but this year, nothing new. It was all the same. I was really disappointed.
There has only been, even though I can't buy them anymore because they don't fit me anymore. There has only been one t-shirt company ever that I have ever bought stuff from that has new stuff every day, and that is Ripped Apparel, because they have new designs every day.
There we go.
So,
new stuff. One thing Matt didn't mention, he did pick up a nice little golden gem at Emerald City Comic Con for your comic book nerds out there.
Are you talking about the slab that I bought?
Yes, the beautiful little slab that you got a great deal on.
Yeah, I did get a really good deal on a Jim Lee signed. It was unfortunately a 9.4, but it was super cheap. It was like $85 for a Jim Lee signed first appearance of Omega Red.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah, that was kind of a nice little gem that I found. Because Jim Lee's like at least $50 for an autograph. Sometimes more depending on what show he's at, and also a first appearance. So it was nice.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, if we want to highlight the two cons we're going to be at this year, we're going to talk. First of all, I want to mention about SummerCon, June 20th through the 22nd. The one that's in Central Washington and Puyallup, Washington. It's at the fairgrounds. This one is going to be, we're going to be there multiple days. Only because of who's going to be there. For Matt, Kevin Eastman is making his return back to the con here. And in previous summer cons, we have noticed that they do not maintain line integrity very well, or line flow very well.
That is really one of the only issues that I've ever had with SummerCon, is that their people, their volunteers, or whoever organizes their security team, mm-hmm. or volunteer team, they do not understand line management at all.
That's not good.
And I spent an entire day waiting to get Kevin Eastman's signature because of how poorly run their line management is. And I was in line like a couple hours before the line, like, or the signing was even supposed to be, and I still took me like 8 hours of standing in line to get it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Kevin Eastman also is an awesome person, and he knew that the line management was very terrible, so he was doing some free stuff for some people because he is a very nice, generous person.
Yes, but, he is awesome.
Yeah, hopefully they can remedy that from a few years ago and actually have a smooth line. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'd certainly have some more stuff for him that I would love to get him to sign.
Yeah.
Now, in typical fashion for the Northwest, you know, our big three cons are always ECC, SummerCon, and Rose City. So as soon as one completes, the guest list of the next one starts filling out. And right. The day after ECC ended, SummerCon started really posting on who they're getting. Now, Eastman was always a guarantee. That was one of the first people they announced as soon as the show came up live. Yeah. Now, Charlie Cox is going to show up at this one. Nice. In fact, it's all Daredevil for the series. The whole most of the cast is going to be there.
Nice.
The Don Bluth is, of course, since he's in the Northwest, he's showing up to the Keith David, who I would like personally to see, is showing back up at this Comic-Con. And, of course, the big headliner is William Shatner is showing up to this con. I think this is the first time he's come to this one.
The what? SummerCon?
The SummerCon. He was
no. No, he got in a fight with Ray Park last year.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Talk about Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Yeah, he got his panties in a twist because Ray Park had a longer line than him.
And threw
a huge fucking fit about it where they had to go get a different pavilion so that he could have his own signing building because he could not stand Ray Park having a longer line than him.
Oh, my God. You say Keith David, all I can think of is the fate of the world is entrusted to a bunch of retards I wouldn't trust with a potato gun.
I'm excited because I always loved the work he did, like in Princess and the Frog. I absolutely love his character in that one, Goliath. He's in Has Been Hotel, but I like his style of voice acting, and I'm really excited about going up there. And he's won that because I do have a blank variant copy of Gargoyles that I really need to get a picture done on it, but I could easily get Keith David to sign on that one because that would be kind of cool since he's the voice of Goliath.
Yeah, that would be so cool. Yeah, so, no, I just remember him as, I mean, I remember him as all the stuff you're talking about, but man, General Kinsey from Armageddon.
Of course, they have a couple of Disney princesses coming to this one, voice actors from there. But that's just the start. I mean, it's very early on.
Yeah, it's very early on. They're going to get
exploded pretty quickly. So we're going to be at SummerCon. We're definitely going to be hitting 2 days up there. So Matt can get his stuff and I can do the work. Not sure if Vegas James is going to get a booth up there. That's still
pending.
He's trying. We'll probably be hanging around his booth. It's usually what we do. Definitely an artist we want you to go purchase from for those in the Pacific Northwest. Absolutely. The next Comic-Con, of course, that we need to chat about is our home city Comic-Con, Rose City. The one that we have gone to since its starting days, and the one that I missed last year because I was in the hospital and I wasn't going anywhere.
Luckily you kicked that virus's ass.
Oh, I did. I beat that. My kidneys are better. I'm in better health.
There you go.
And I had to do it before Matt was going to murder me. So, yeah,
true.
Rose City Comic Con is here at the Convention Center in Portland, Oregon, September 5th through September 7th. The overall experience for here is beautiful about Portland is you can get a hotel a little bit of ways away from the Rose City Comic Con, and you can jump on a train system to the Convention Center. So you don't have to pay bigger prices being right outside the Convention Center. You can go anywhere along the multiple Rut Max lines, get a hotel off that's walking distance, and just catch a train in and out for each day. That's the beauty of Rose City Comic Con, I will admit. This is very early for attendance, but their theme this year is all leading up to The Goonies. It's the 40th anniversary of The Goonies. So that is going to be the focus of everything. And of course, they have all the Goonies up there who are coming. Well, not all of them. Several of the Goonies have set up. Corey Feldman is already, Sean Astin is already going to be there. Several of the adults. The only one outside of for celebrities is, of course, our favorite con person is Will Wheaton. He has agreed to be there for Friday, Saturday. So we are excited. If you go to a Comic-Con with Will Wheaton, do not miss his panels. He is one of the best panel goers, presenters out there that I've ever seen. His stories will memorize you, and he is absolutely, he loves it for the fans. And it's absolutely wonderful to go see him. Voice actors are several anime and X-Men voice actors have already agreed to be going there. And there's a slew of some comic artists. I know a couple of them, but nothing super huge. But we'll see more of that as SummerCon comes and goes. Those ranks will definitely fill out.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, folks. Go ahead.
I do want to point out one sad note. One thing about Emerald City Comic Con as it went out. One author that I've actually met a couple of times, Terry Brooks, the author of the Shannara series, is taking the back step role. He is now done writing books. After this Comic Con, he's old. He's near 90. And he mentioned dementia, and it started hitting him. He's forgetting things. It's hard for him to converse in the public. There is a writer who's worked underneath him for years in the Shannara world. She'll be taking over all the duties as main author. He's let out some guidelines for her to follow, but he is officially done after the book they just released. For an author that I grew up on, it's sad. His books are amazing. Do not watch the TV show. That's garbage, but the books are fantastic. And for any new person who's getting into reading, the Shannara series is a really good series to immerse yourself with.
Very cool.
Are you saying that MTV did not do a good job of producing the Shannara Chronicles?
Did a terrible job. The poster. Okay, you know what? You're getting me on a tangent. You knew it would do that.
Music, television, stop it. Programming did not do a good job with a fantasy story.
Damn you, Matthew! All right. Another tangent for another time.
Yes,
sorry about that, sir.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. But yes, Terry Brooks, amazing, amazing person, amazing writer. As long as you can go out at the top of your game, right? I guess. If you decide that you need to take a step back with, especially if health is a concern, obviously, it's very sad. But hey, the man had a wonderful career.
Yep. He's not doing the Robert Jordan thing. It's like, I'm a book or two away from finishing the series.
Well, I just certainly hope that they don't Tim Curry him with his family, that they just let him retire and be retired and not quite literally wheeled out for the public masses.
Yep. That's another tangent for another podcast.
Yeah. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Or let's hope the other thing doesn't happen that we will talk about off air that apparently is happening. And I'm sorry, but Kickstarter, get your shit together and stop that campaign.
Ah, yes. So
stupid. Anyway, anything else on the conventions before I send it to a quick podcast ad break, gentlemen?
One of the nice things that's been happening recently with Emerald City is that they quite literally have CGC from Florida come out and do their show. They're not doing third party where you get grading, where you give it to one guy, you pay him extra, and then they hand deliver your books to Florida. But it's just like a whole bunch of extra steps and a whole bunch of extra money. CGC has finally started coming to Seattle to do the show. So you can give them your books directly and pay CGC prices and not get taken to the cleaner. Yep. So that's really nice, and it's very convenient to do. It's really easy. They have a huge booth, lots of employees there to help you go through their application of like filling out for what books you're sending off. And there's so many people there that you don't have to worry about your books being protected like you do with other third-party groups that are sending like two people, and they have to go off and go watch signings, and they leave your books unprotected at their booth with nobody there.
Summer Con.
For CGC grading, like people that like to get their books sent off, that's what I did on Saturday. That was my highlight, was being able to actually interact with CGC, send off books that I've been holding on to because they are high value, and I do not trust the post office to not throw them into a sewer grate or, you know, jab it with a box knife. So I was able to hand deliver that to them, and I will hopefully get them back in a month or two, because it's going directly to them and not through this person, then back to this person, and then back to me. That is nice if you're into the whole grading book thing.
Yeah, I've noticed that with CGC, is that they are going to a lot more shows in general, not just for the comic grading, but for other, just grading stuff in general.
Like, oh yeah, they're grading video games, cards. They just partnered up with PSA. Yeah. So they're doing authentications.
Yep.
So you no longer, it will state on the book, there is witnessed yellow labels, and then there are authenticated yellow labels. Where they'll just say, yep, that's so-and-so's signature. And then there's other times that they are witnessing it and saying, yes, this is that person's signature because I saw them write it. I haven't seen any dip in price on authentication to witnessed. So apparently the authentication process, everybody is saying, no, that's just as good.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. All right, folks, you're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles, or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of Geekcast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on Geekcast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content, till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here on GeekCast Radio. This is episode 348. We are two away from 350. And any final thoughts from you, Mr. Christopher, sir?
The progression of where Comic-Con, again, the stigma of the word comic book convention is really not the overall view of what these events are anymore. It is pulp culture. That's what's the overview design. Now, Emerald City was the first. I hadn't seen a lot of WWE wrestling involved. There was like one wrestler there. That was it. It's funny because that usually tags along with these conventions. You'll see a big group of WWE wrestlers tagging along with it. But it is still a great place to express yourself, to express the culture that you love or the fandom you love, because there are other people who love what you love, and this is a good place to meet them. Some of them are a little, you know, sketchy, and this is not furry conventions. Stop it, Matt, because I knew you were going to mention that. But it's a great place for people to go to enjoy the medium out there of different venues, either be books, either be videos, audio, or just big film. You gambit everything there. So definitely I encourage you to go, and don't even have to go alone. Try to bring your friend, and you don't have to hit every day. Just, I don't encourage going every day because it's way
you will get sick. You will get sick.
Con funk is a thing, folks, and we've survived it. So
here's the thing, folks, really quickly before I let Matt have the floor and have his final say, here's the thing, folks, con funk is a thing. Not only is it a thing for people that actually go to conventions, but it's also a thing for people who sit at home in front of their computer screens looking at convention websites, trying to keep up with the news. And I'm already sick.
One of us.
Thank you, right, Joe. Matt, go ahead. What are your final thoughts?
Hygiene. Please, when going to cons, shower, change your clothes. If you have, I don't know, a furry costume, please clean it. Please put some air freshener in it. Something like that, because we don't need this turning into what anime cons used to be of just the giant smell pool of grossness. There's a lot of people. You get really crammed in some of those alleys, and we all want to be able to breathe oxygen. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, people get crammed in a lot of those back alleys, kind of like the back of a Volkswagen.
Oh boy.
Kinda. Yes, folks, do your best. And like Matt and Chris have said, I agree. Okay, so if you go to any, it's not just specific to ECCCCCCC, but if you go to any convention's website, whether it's your local convention, whether it's a national convention, whatever, and you see it has three different things that you want to go to, what I would suggest is, especially if these things are on different days, get those multiple day passes. Get that Friday, Saturday, Sunday pass for that specific thing on that specific day, kind of thing. Or like they've said in this whole episode, if there's only one day that they wanted to go because there's only one specific thing, go for that one day and have that fun. You don't have to, you know, go bankrupt over a convention that might end up mentally discharging yourself out of somewhere. And just have fun, folks. Be responsible. And
I've got one other thing, though, to mention to new congoers. If there is a celebrity that you are really wanting to see, make sure you check on all of their social media to make sure that, one, they were invited through the guest. Then also check the website of the con. This show I noticed on Facebook and Instagram, they were pushing celebrities that had already canceled, but they had only mentioned on the website of Emerald City Comic Con that that celebrity had actually canceled. But on Facebook and Instagram, they were still pushing the picture of that celebrity saying, come get autographs, come see the panels, come see this. But the website, the home website for Emerald City said this artist had canceled. But for weeks after that, I knew that that artist had canceled, they were still pushing them on other social medias. So check everything that you can. Check this with that artist or that celebrity to see if they've mentioned going to that con, to see if dates have changed or anything like that. So if, sorry, guys, I can't make Saturday, I'm only making Sunday. And then check the show to make sure that they're being honest on all of their social medias.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other promotions or anything else you guys want to do before I run through the closing?
No, not really.
Well, of course, you can always find me around there at Indeed Podcast at indeedpodcast.com. Again, we're not really doing much new shows, but we're more incapable of doing things that we really want to do because we're just lazy, and who knows. With the most interest, we might actually get stuff done. So you can poke us around out there. Otherwise, you can always catch me floating around here at the Geekcast Radio Network, because I like to poke around when I can.
Stop it. I mean, don't. Never mind.
Poke the bear.
Poke the bear.
Thank you for listening to us here on Geekcast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also visit shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy all of our merchandise now. We have t-shirts up to 4XL. We have mugs. We have gamer mats. We have other things. I have no idea. Just check that out. You can check us out in any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, Apple, Android, all that good stuff. You can follow us on all the social medias at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am at TFG and Mike. Chris, social media, yay, nay.
Social media, mainly look for Indeed Podcast at dpodcast.com. Of course, you can catch me if you do Deviant Art. Look for Tabaxian, and you will find all my artist goodies there.
There you go. What about you, Matt?
Not really. Okay. I don't post on anything.
Yeah, he's very antisocial, folks.
Bah humbug.
At least on the internet.
Yes.
Yes. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. We'll be talking about something. I have no idea what it is yet. We have no plans. I wasn't even sure. Until they brought this up, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I haven't made a plan for Geekcast Radio in a couple of months, folks. Over on Studio 2009 doing the Columbo Files, and we're doing movies and things and whatever. The pull bag is doing comic book stuff, and I don't even know what else we're doing. I think we're about to finish the Boy Meets World section of podcast. Yep. Podcast meets podcaster meets world, so we're doing that. And
what comic books are you hitting over there at the pull bag right now?
Let's see. We're in the middle of Mutant March. So we are we're continuing our run through IDW Publishing, TMNT. We just released episode 575 of the pullback, which is IDW TMNT Reborn Volume 5, which collects issues 124 to 130 of the comic book series from IDW. Okay.
All right.
So there's that. I literally just, as of this recording, I just finished editing episode 577, which is, I'm surprised I got it under this. It's 2 hours, 48 minutes, and 16 seconds. It was about to be 3 hours, 14 minutes, and 56, 28, 37, 84, whatever pi number you can think of. But we did volume 7 of the Reborn series. So we're making our end run through the IDW TMNT series up to issue 150. And then this September, inside the pull bag, we are going to do Sewer Surfing September, which we haven't done since 2017, I think, which is it's just a theme thing, but we're doing that, so we're giving ourselves enough time. So that way we have at least the first trade of the new series written by Jason Aaron. So at least by September, that new series will be in trade paperback by that time. So we'll have at least, I think, the first two arcs in trade by then. I know at least the first arc, the first six issues will be traded by then. And then after that, I don't know. I had a lot of health issues lately myself with the brain.
Oh, really?
And everything else. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Technically, I've been sick since last Halloween in 2024. So if I'm not recording or editing, I'm asleep.
I can relate.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that.
Yeah, Mike, at least you have all 10 toes.
You don't have to take your pants off to count to 20s.
Oh, no, that's what the calculator's for on my phone. Oh boy. All right, for now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Chris and Matt.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh yeah. And unleash the geek in you.
You've just heard a podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to GeekCastRadio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback at GeekCastRadio.com, or interact with us on X at GeekCastRadio and on Facebook at GeekCast Radio Network. Don't forget to subscribe to the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.